moment, just worship Jesus. Just worship him. From the depth of your heart, I want you to just appreciate him this morning and give him praise. Give him praise. Just talk to him. Talk to him. Just acknowledge God is your Father. I want you to just acknowledge him and just bless him. Just bless him. Just bless him. Give him praise. Give him glory. Today is 26th of January. 26th of January 2025. You know, the year is already running. Thank him for how far he has helped you. Have you seen his help this year thus far? Have you experienced God thus far this year? I want you to just thank him. Has he answered your prayer this year? Just thank him. Has he kept and provided for you? Just thank him. Just give him praise from your heart. Just appreciate him. And tell him, Father, I'm here because you are important to me. You are important to me. You are important to me. That's why I've come. Not as a matter of marking time. Not religiously. But I've come with my heart. I've come with a heart to know you, to hear you, to be blessed by your spirit. Thank you. Because the entrance of your word gives light and understanding. I just want to bless you. I just want to give you praise. I give you glory. I honor you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for your life. Appreciate God for your life. Appreciate him. He's a Father. Talk to him. Just appreciate him for your life. For your life. For your life. Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. And he says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. I know the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of peace to give you a future, to give you an expected end. Thank him for that. It may not look like it yet. It may not even have any form or structure yet. But just thank him by faith. Thank him this afternoon with confident assurance in your Father that my Father is capable. My Father is capable. My Father is capable. Can you just trust him like your child would trust the Father, trust the Mother? Look up to them for sustenance, for protection, for preservation. Tell yourself, Lord, I look up to you this afternoon. I look up to you for this year. I look up to you. I look up to you that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above what I can ask for or think for. Yes, I have my aspirations. I have my desires. I have what I wish to see. But Father, I just commit everything into your hands. My whole life I put into your hands. I put into your hands. I hope you are praying. Talk to your Father. I put my whole life into your hands. My whole life. My whole existence. I put them into your hands. And I surrender to you, my Father. I surrender to you. I surrender my soul. I surrender my spirit. I surrender my body. I surrender my business, my academics. I surrender my ways unto you. I surrender. I surrender to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Masupra kani mashende lelebogo supra hakasete. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. David said, I will look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? And he shouted, he said, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that maker of heaven and earth is your Father. Can you look up to him this afternoon? I say, Father, I look up to you. For 2025, I look up to you. For your workings in my life, I look up to you. For you to perfect all that concerns me, I look up to you. I look up to you. I look up to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's no reason to give up. There's no reason to be hopeless. There's no reason. There's no reason why you should be hopeless. There's no reason why you should be hopeless. The future may not look bright, but that's not enough reason to look hopeless and look at your life and write yourself off and think that there's no future for you. As long as you are in tune with your Father, you have a future. You have a future. You have a future. You have a future. You have a future in Him. And that future is coming to pass, says the Spirit of God. That future is coming to pass. It's because I watch over my word to perform it. I watch over my word. So stop looking at what you can see. Stop looking at what is just visible all around you. Stop looking at what you can feel and considering all those things. Choose to see my goodness in the land of the living. Choose to see me perform my word. Choose to see a brighter future for yourself. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, the things that have not entered into the hearts of any man, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, for those who love Him. Father, we say we love you. I love you. Can you tell Him this afternoon, I love you, Father. I love you, Father. I love you, Father. Thank you. I give you praise. I worship you. Blessed be your name, Father. Blessed be your name, Father. Thank you for encouraging everyone here this afternoon. Thank you for strengthening every heart to go on with you. To go on with you. Blessed be your name, our Father. For in Jesus' name we have worshipped. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 1. We just finished reading Proverbs, and that's where we're going. Proverbs chapter 1. You know, I talk about relationships. And we'll talk about relationships this morning. But one thing I want you to realize, this is my first time in third service this year. Can I say Happy New Year to everybody? At least as far as this service is concerned. Happy New Year. Please, can somebody get Solomon to attend to Grandma? She may want to go home. Thank you. When we talk about relationships, one of the things you must understand is there are different relationships, different forms of relationship. You have father and mother relationship. You have relationship with your siblings. You have friends. Some of you have cousins that you relate with. You have friends, you have colleagues. You have colleagues. Then eventually you start, as you grow older, you start looking for somebody to spend the rest of your life with, an intimate relationship that is beyond just friends and relatives. You start looking for, oh, I want to settle down. I want to marry, aka I want to marry. And Valentine is around the corner. Am I right? Yeah, but can we look at one relationship that is above all, above every other relationship? Can we look at that relationship this afternoon? A relationship that is above all. Ushers, please. These kids are disturbing. One relationship that is above all, that controls all other relationships. A relationship that sets you, that prepares you, that helps you for every other relationship. Where is noise coming from? This angle. From outside. Wow. All right. Okay, the children on trampoline or something. Okay. A relationship that is so important. If you're a child of God, if you have given your life to Christ, your relationship with your Heavenly Father far outweighs, much more important, much more valuable, and is above every other human relationship that you may have. When you have your relationship with the Father God, when it's good, ongoing, when it's which word would I go? When it's good, let me just say when it's good. You know, when you have a relationship with a friend and it's good, you enjoy it, don't you? Have you ever thought of the fact that you can have a relationship with the Heavenly Father and it's a good one? Jesus Christ said to the disciples or to the Pharisees, he said, the one you call God is my Father. Jesus had so much boldness and confidence to declare that God, yes, God of the universe, but he's my Father. You know, it's like somebody to say, oh, you are looking, have you ever been in a situation, you are looking at somebody that is so high up there, that you're wondering, how, you know, I can't even get close. And somebody comes around and says, oh, that person is my friend. We had dinner yesterday night. I've even called him this morning. How will you feel? Say, wow, you think you are privileged. We should be those privileged set of people who can see God. Like Jesus Christ said, the one you call Father, that you have formal relationship with, is my own Father. The one that you call God is my own Father. And when you talk about father-child relationship, all things being equal, it says a lot about your outcome in life. The kind of person who is your father. The person that raised you. I must say that, unfortunately, a lot of us, by one reason or the other, we're not fathered well. Or we didn't even have fathers. They didn't even exist. Like, for instance, for me, my father died when I was 9 years old. And every other person, one or two, that tried to be a father, that tried to play that role, I didn't feel them. They were more like father for everybody. You know, kind of. I didn't. And till I got saved, I kept yearning. There was something within me that I couldn't describe, but it was like a hunger, a desire to have a father, to have somebody. Even till I got married and even got into ministry, there was still some, oh, I wish I would have somebody. But I later realized and came to terms with the Father, with the fact that nobody else can take that place except the Father God. And I started developing my relationship with the Father. With the Father. And that's what we want to talk about this morning or this afternoon. Relationship with the Father. And we'll be subsequent meetings look at what Proverbs has to say about this. You know, we read Proverbs chapter 1, the whole of it in TPT. And it was like more of a call. Somebody calling you, beckoning and advising you to wisdom, to make meaning of your life. In Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 7. That's the starting point. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and what? Instruction. Say, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Let's take a look at this. The Lord there, referring to our Father. He says, it's the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Let's just put it generally, knowledge. Knowledge about yourself, about life, about the person you want to marry, about work, knowledge. Say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning That's the starting point. Please get somebody to tell them to move away. That's distracting me. Please. That's distracting. And there's still a child running up and down, upstairs. Please. There's no reason why any child should be around in the hall. So the fear of the Lord is the starting point of knowledge. Give it to us in NLT. He said, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. Foundation. When you talk about foundation, you don't build without the foundation. A lot of people try to get into other relationships, build career, build business, build marriage without foundation. And we wonder why things are crashing all around us. Yoruba will say, "Ile taba fi tomo." Okay, you don't know. You are Lagos people, enlightened people. When you build a house with saliva, can you imagine? I mean, it's ridiculous. When you build on sand, it's just a matter of, you know, just one wind, just one storm, just one argument, just one difference here and there, and things scatter. But it says, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. He said, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord. Can we look at that word this morning? The fear of the Lord. That Bible says is the foundation of true knowledge. Solomon said it, you know, in Proverbs 9:10 again. It says something about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10. It says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgments or good decision making. Say the fear of the Lord. That word fear, you know, there are certain words that English grammar don't capture very well. For instance, the word love is not well captured in English language. I love my husband. I love God. I love jollof rice and salad with chicken. I love my dog. Oh, I love that latest. Everything is what? Love, love, love. But they all mean different things. Because I love dog, but can I compare the love for my daughter with the love of dog? No. But in Hebrew or in Greek, they mean something else. Like now, in all over the New Testament, the word love means different things. Sometimes it means filio. Sometimes it means agape. But they just put love, love. So this word, it says fear. When you say fear, what comes to your mind? You want to cringe. You get afraid. You see the word fear, 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 fear. But fear here does not mean the way you fear. When you see a snake, you're afraid, you run. You're afraid, you run. They use the word fear. But here, it means to revere. The kind of fear that you have for, how many of you had very strong parents that you knew they would never take nonsense. My mom was like that. After my dad died, she became the father and the mother. I feared her like, but that fear, I didn't fear her like she was going to kill me. I didn't fear her like, oh. It wasn't a negative kind of fear, but a kind of Oh, reverence. That, I don't want to offend my mom. I don't want my, if I do anything bad, hey, I'm scared. I don't want my mom to know, because I know. Kind of respect. Kind of, I don't want to make her angry. I don't want to offend her. I want to make her happy. Reverence. The word that is close to that is to revere. I know growing up in churches, some of us revere the altar. You say, the altar, nobody goes there. It's the place of God. Revered men of God, because they stand for God. But here we're looking about reverence for the Lord himself, our Father. That Solomon said is the foundation of wisdom. How do you see the Father? How do you relate with God? How do you relate with the Father? If somebody wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, talk about God, what comes to your mind? In the midst of your friends, on social media, in your class, in your place of work, when the issue of God or Jesus comes up, what do you have to say? How do you see him? How do you see God? How do you see him? Ecclesiastes 12, look at verse 13. Fear of the Lord. Reverence for the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, written by the same man. He said, that's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God. After Solomon has said everything and everything, you know, Solomon was a man that in the early part of his life, he worked with God. On the deathbed of David, he called Solomon and gave him a command. He said, know, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him. Follow him. Christianity is not something that is transferred. Oh, my parents are good Christians, so I also practically know. It's personal. And David realized that, and he instructed Solomon, his son, to start with that personal relationship with the Father. Say no and serve him. And Solomon down said, fear God and obey his command, for this is everyone's duty. It is your duty. It is, you'll be doing yourself a great pleasure when you make reverence for God, fear of God, an important part of your life. In fact, the most important thing in your life. In your subconsciousness, when you are down to yourself, do you have any horror of God? Or like what the world would do, they mock God, talk about God anyhow, say all kinds of things. Whether they understand it or not, it doesn't matter. As far as, you know, some people say, that man upstairs, that's God they are referring to, the Father. People mock, especially in your generation, they mock God. They use things about God anyhow. Talk about God anyhow. Joke about God. You know, some of us don't even do that. But we listen to people who do it. We listen to them. We enjoy it. Somebody is sitting down and making mockery about Jesus and about things of God, about church. Have you noticed that they don't do that with other religion? Have you noticed? They don't do it with Muhammad. They don't call Hindu with all those things. It is Jesus. It's Jesus or God or a pastor. You know, things about God. And we sit there and we laugh. Is that reverence for God? You are in church. and you are texting and WhatsApping, what else do you do? You're on Instagram. You're checking your phone. And you said you are in the presence of God. Will you do that in the presence of your boss? Will you do that? You go to your boss's office and you sit down to discuss. Some of you, before you enter your boss's office, you will have put off your phone or put it in airplane mode or put it in silence. But we come to church, not only that we have not even put away all those things, but we sit down and somebody is preaching or singing, or we are busy doing something. Is that reverence for God? That's not. That's like mocking the presence of God. And that's why it starts. That's why it starts. A lot of us, we look up to God, we want great future, great relationships. And the truth is, without great relationships, your future will be messed up. Without great relationships, without knowing what to do and handle people, whether at home or at places of working, is you are going to have a mess because people are going to be around you. It's not just about marriage alone. Even when it's marriage, that person that you are marrying has a father, has a mother, has some brothers or sisters, has some cousins, has some relatives, has friends, has this, has that. That you, one way or the other, you have to relate with. You go to places of work, you're a business person, you have to relate with people. So there's no way. Life is about relationships. But then, what will help you to be able to make a success of all other relationships is your relationship with the Father God. Paul said, I bow my knees in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, I bow my knees to the Father from whom all families in heaven and earth, 3:15. Say, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So God has wisdom for you to be able to handle your relationships. Or start with even recognizing Him first and foremost. Recognizing God the Father. Coming with reverence. Developing your relationship with Him. That's why it starts. I know it doesn't sound good. It's not exciting. But that's the starting point. That's the starting point. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning or is the foundation of knowledge. But fools will despise even this wisdom. Fools will despise even this one that we're talking about reverence for God. It doesn't matter. You know, there's this extreme end of, reverence for God is that, you don't kill, you don't step on hands, you don't kill cockroach, you live in the fear of God that, you must cross all the T's, dot all the I's, when you are praying, that kind of a thing. Then there's this other extreme, God is my paddy. New creation realities. We are children of God. God is our Father. Blah, 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 blah. And we're taking it for granted. This extreme, those are the ones that will sit down with comedy and all sort of things where they're making mockery of Jesus. Where they're using Jesus, the name of God. And God said, you shall not call His name in vain. Have you ever seen that in the Bible? Is that you will not mention His name in vain. But we sit down and just talk and chat, or friends talk, and they just, mock God and mock the things of God. God wants us to repent. He wants to sharpen our lives so that we are in best position to receive wisdom that will help us in all other aspects of our relationship. Praise God. Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, look at verse 1. He says, oh, the joys of who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Join in with mockers. Those who don't revere the Lord. Those who don't have any regard for the Lord. Who are those people that you walk with, that you listen to, who don't have any regard? Any regard? Who are those your influencers, mentors, people that you follow on Instagram and here and there on TikTok and all of those things? But it says, the joy, or blessed are those who don't stand around with sinners. Because sinners don't have relationship with the Father God. They don't have any regard for God. They mock God. God is not in the equation at all. They don't revere God in any way. Their hands have not been opened. So they don't know better. But you're a child of God. You've given your life to Christ. You want to follow Jesus. And you hang around. You still listen to those two people because they are millions of followers. They have millions of these that they are influencing and all of that. And there's a sense of, oh, who am I? I'm following this. I'm following that. I'm going. Are you following mockers? Are you following sinners? Look at verse 2. He said, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. That is, they stop doing the wrong one and they start doing the right thing. So this year, I want to encourage you, determine to work more, to work on your relationship with the Father. To work, you develop the awe, the reverence for God by working with Him, by getting to know Him more. By developing your relationship with Him. That's how you get to be in reverence more and more. Get to fear the Lord more and more. To respect the Lord more and more through your relationship. Somebody that you don't relate with regularly, continuously, you don't get to know them. They become just acquaintances. They're just, friends once in a while, people that you just say hi to and all of those things. But intimate friends, close friends, are people that you spend time with. And you will only be able to know God and develop in your relationship with Him by spending time with Him. Someone said, how do I spend time with God? I don't see God. How many of you have friends abroad or outside the states? And are they close friends? How do you spend time with them? You get in contact. I mean, I picked up my phone how many days ago. A friend had been coming to my mind that, I've not greeted this person. By the time I saw the chat, our last chat was December 2023. And I was like, oh boy. So it means throughout last year, I didn't call this person. We didn't talk. Not even exchange of messages throughout last year. So I now send a message. Of course, the person is not a very close friend. But that's what I'm trying to say. But there are some friends that 2 or 3 days, if the person is not calling, you are the one calling. You say, by the time we have spent a week without communicating, it becomes equijometa, that kind of a thing. Can we have such relationship with the Father God? Is it possible? It's possible. If you will spend time, if you will pick up time to say, I just want to be with the Father this morning. Every day, I want to fall on my knees to just worship my Father. That's part of reverencing Him, respecting Him, putting Him first place in your life. Putting Him in a place that no other person can take you. That's respect. That's fear. That's reverence. I'm using all those words because they are all similar. Have you taken your relationship with the Father to that level? That a day does not pass without you worshiping Him. Even if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Thank God for the worship that we do in church. Thank God for the time of worship. Thank God for Fridays that we come to worship God. But beyond the corporate worship, one of the things that ladies don't like is corner love. You know, when they are outside, when you are both outside, you pretend as if you don't know them. And when everybody's gone, and I say, you want to hold, and I say, you know. Can I say that God too does not like corner love? The only worship time is only when you come to church. That's the only time that you worship, you praise Him. And how many minutes, how many times in a week? But so regularly and consistently, just say, I just want to worship my Father. I just want to spend time. You are nurturing your relationship that way. And Bible says, Solomon said, that's his foundation for wisdom. Foundation for wisdom for the future. Beginning of knowledge. Spending time to just worship. If it's 5 minutes, if it's 10 minutes, to just sit down. And you worship Him, you praise Him, and you talk to Him. You remember one of the things? No, not the scripture. Give us that background. One of the things that we trust God to help us do this year was this. Were you around in January? You and I. Where you sit down and you imagine yourself before your Father and you have things to talk about. Things that probably you will not tell anybody. Things that people may not even know about you. Maybe your fears, your desire, and you just sit down and just talk. Oh, Father, I just want to let you know this, that I love you. Start to develop now. Start that now before some other relationships, burdens, and responsibilities. Because this is the foundation that will help you for every other relationship. People come to church, they say they are followers of Christ, they are followers of Christ, but this is missing. Yes, they are born again, but they have not developed this with the Father. All they want is, I just want to pray, Father, show me who to marry. Showing you who to marry is a small issue, very small. In the whole of it, learning to live with that person and knowing what to do with that person, that's what matters. It's not just who. Yes, you make a choice. After making that choice, what happens? It's like somebody say, oh Lord, I want to become pregnant. You are married. I want to become pregnant. I want to have a baby. And baby comes. What next? We say, I want to have a baby. I want to have. Then the baby has come. What are you going to do? Responsibility has landed. So if you have not learned what to do with a baby, what's going to come? What's going to happen to you? That's why some people just lose their mind. Because they just realize that, oh, this is huge. How am I going to take care? Some people are at the brink of, you know, mental imbalance. They just lose it. Because they were not prepared for it. So start now your relationship with the Father. Then you just stay indoor. Not picking your phone first thing in the morning and as soon as you wake up. There's one song that says, as my feet touch the ground this morning, may new mercies I work in my soul. Go and look for it. For some people, as my feet or as my eyes open this morning, is Instagram or WhatsApp or what else? No. Part of reverence for God is to say, I open my eyes, it's me and Jesus, first of all. It's me and my Father, first of all. It may be a minute, it may be two, it may be five, it may be ten. But Lord, I reverence you enough to give you the first few minutes of my day. That's what we're talking about. And he says, that's the beginning. That's the foundation of wisdom. That's the beginning. That's the foundation. So, develop. Work on yourself. If you have to put yourself on a timetable, if you have to, you want to reach out and just, no, I'm not taking my phone, first of all. I want to talk to my Father. Because I want to develop my relationship, because I respect my Father, because I honor my Father, because I revere my Father. Is somebody following me this afternoon? This looks, it's not exciting, but that's the truth. That's the truth. The same way you give attention to your body, give attention to your spirit. And Bible calls God the Father of our spirits. The Father of our spirits. So give attention. Work on that. Work on yourself. That I respect God enough. I want to give him my first moment. I want to worship him. I want to talk to him. I want to relate with him. Have you ever heard people say, oh, God said to me. God spoke to me. Some of you think, oh, is it that he's just busting through the roof and he's landing and he's like, he did to Samuel, 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 Samuel. No. Note that some people that you are so familiar with them, you don't need to hear them. Let them just speak or talk. You recognize it. You know, in marriage, one of the things that good marriage will do in your life is your husband is thinking something, you have picked it. That's some level of intimacy that you get to in marriage. That one is thinking, the other is saying it. And that's the same thing. God is speaking, you are hearing, because you have developed intimacy. You have given time to nurture your relationship. So you begin to see, you begin to hear God, the Father, speak to you. You hear his voice. You hear his voice. You hear instruction. You just know that's God. Because you heard it last week. You heard it last month. And the more you are giving, developing that relationship, the more you begin to hear God distinctly and accurately. That will help you more and more down the line. Is somebody getting blessed this afternoon? That's the truth. That's the foundation. When I look back at my life, I wondered some of the decisions I made when I was 21, 22, 23, 25, 26. When I look back and I'm like, these were life-threatening decisions. When I say life-threatening, risky decisions. When I say risky, is it that this one is right or your life is gone? In my 20s. But I was able to make those decisions and to stand by those decisions because I knew that I had God. I knew what God was saying. I had developed relationship to that level of knowing that this is God that is leading me to do this. And I did them without even looking back. I took those without looking back. After I gave my life to Christ, I never had any relationship with any man until my husband proposed. And after he proposed, that was the only thing. I didn't have to be looking, will he be the one? Is it the one? Should I wait? Maybe somebody else will stick home. Blah, blah, blah. I just knew. I knew because it came in line with what I have heard about God. Heard from God before he came. And known certain things from my interaction with my father about my future. By the time he came, in fact, the first thing he asked me was about what God had told me. He didn't know, but he just asked me, what's your future like? And I already had an inkling of my future. I was less than 21. I already had an inkling about my future because of the relationship I had developed with the Father through worship, through word, giving attention to the word of God. So I was able to say it. This is what I see about my future. This is what I see about my future. And he said, well, yeah. And we were able to just work things out. So, spending time on daily basis with worship, with God in worship and in word, make that a priority for yourself this year. Make it a priority that you read your Bible this year. I know my husband said some things about this last Sunday. Make it a priority. If you have to set your alarm, set your alarm. Till today, I still have alarms. I still have reminders. I don't depend on myself or on my intentions. You know, all of us, we have good intentions at the beginning of the year. Everybody has, intention, I'm going to do this, I wish to. And the beginning of the year, I believe, is a time to reset. To reset, to recalibrate, and set ourselves on the path towards progress. But you just matter that you make decision before you know it. So put things in place that would enable you, that would help you to follow through with your decisions. At least if you put an alarm and say, worship, word, every day. The alarm will ring as long as you have phone. And I'm sure you will have phone. I'm sure you will charge your phone. That one is sure banker. Nobody goes with that. Nobody wants flat battery. Because you don't want to miss those calls. You want to catch up with, happening events all around you. So you charge your phone so that the reminders will come. And as the reminders will come, get yourself together and do what you need to do. Initially, it may look mechanical. And you have to set appointment. You set appointment for physical stuff. You tell that your friend, can we chat so time? You are not available now. Can we meet at so time? You are setting it. It may look mechanical, but as you set yourself and apply yourself to such things, it begins to flow. And you get better with this. Is somebody getting helped? It may look mechanical at the same time. Do I have to set alarm to pray? Set alarm to read my Bible? Yes. Do it. You eventually will get to a point where you may not need the alarm or the reminder. But initially, it will be a great help for you. It will be a great help. So set yourself on purpose. That this year, I want to develop my relationship with my Father more and more. More and more. I want to know God more. Before I want to know any other person. Before I venture into this or that, I want to know God more. I want to move more in the knowledge of who He is. I want to. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I've quoted it before. Can we read it? 1 Chronicles 29 verse 9. Okay, let me read from verse 6. Now he said to me, it is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Look at verse 8. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God. 1 Chronicles 29. I'm on verse 8 now. Oh, sorry, 28. I'm sorry, 28. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children and after you forever. That's like the conclusion of the matter. The end result. To inherit the land, to experience the good promises of the Lord, to see God work out his plan and purpose for you. That's the end result. But how do you get to work it out? David counseled his son. He said, now therefore in this... No, verse 9. Verse 9. He says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. You know, that's one of the things that we should fear about God. That we should respect about God. He sees all hearts. Hello. He sees all. He sees all. I don't see any hearts. I don't see any heart. I can't see your heart. I can only see your actions. But before the actions, he says, for the Lord searches all hearts. All of our hearts. That's who he is. He sees your heart. He sees my heart. He sees the heart of that lady, that guy. He sees the heart of your boss. He sees... And he says, he understands all the intents of the thoughts. He understands everything. He knows you in and out. Beyond what you know about yourself. And that's the same one that is asking you to come into intimacy with him. He says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. Isn't that a great privilege? An open check. That you will find God. You will find God. You will know God for yourself. You'll become intimate with him. And you say you found something. That means you begin to possess that thing. And God's saying, I want to be available to you. That you know me as your father. You know me as your healer. You know me as your provider. You know me as your all in all. It says, if you will seek him, just like you want to seek to find somebody to marry before then, it says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But it says, if you forsake him, you know, with Father God, he has made us with the will to either choose him or to reject him. It's not like other religions that will force you. And in Christianity, if anybody is giving in the you know, in time past, people have tried to force people to obedience, to willingness, and it's not coming from their hearts. And as soon as they leave that environment, they do something else. God is giving you that freedom. If you seek me, you will find me. But if you forsake me, Does this sound like what we read in Proverbs chapter 1? Does it sound like it? It sounds like it. That a time will come that you want to seek me, I won't be available. That's what it means. Because you will have walked your way, you have done your things, and you now want God. And that's why you have a lot of prayer houses. And that's why a lot of prayer houses and prayer mountains will not stop. Because a lot of people will not seek God, will not develop their relationship with God, they will not have the foundation, then they run into crisis. They're looking for somebody that will help them to talk to God, that they forsook, that they did not give attention to, that they don't know, and is supposed to be their father. So they're not looking for somebody that will just help them to pray. Oh, do fasting. Oh, that will just see. Something, something. But if God forsakes you, it doesn't matter who is praying for you. It doesn't matter. When Saul refused to seek God, to obey God, to know God, at the latter time, when he got into crisis, he said, I have sought God. I have contacted. He even contacted prophets to help him find the will of God. No, God was not speaking. They couldn't reach God. You know what? He now had to resort to witchcraft. He had to resort to seeking to hear God from a witch. Our story will not be like that in the name of Jesus. So seek him now. Develop your relationship with him now. Get to know God on your own. On your own. It's the best relationship. It's the first and the foremost. When your father and your mother forsake you, who will pick you up? It's the Lord. When you fight and have issues in marriage, who will you turn to? The Lord. You have challenges at your place of work, who will you turn to? And it is this same the Lord that we are running away from. And we want all other things to be sorted. No. Jesus Christ said this way. He said, seek you first. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about God. And it starts by bowing our knees to him every day. To reverence him, to respect him, to honor him, to listen to him, to talk to him, and to take his word. Every time you pick your Bible to read, that's you interacting with your Father. It doesn't matter. You may look as if, this thing I'm reading, just read. Especially the New Testament. Read, 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 read. Ask God, this thing I'm reading, I may not understand it, or I don't even understand it. Can you enlighten me? Can you help me to apply it? Can you help me to apply it into my life where I am now? Can you apply this? Can you show me this truth so I can live by it where I am now? Praise God. That's where it starts. That's why today, nobody can come around and tell me what is not. Because right from when I knew the Lord, I started. Those are the kind of things that they taught us. You used to call it morning devotion with the Lord. Some people call it, what other names? Quiet time. So it's quiet time, those times. Quiet time that you just go before the Lord, you worship him, you read the word, you pray, you talk to God. And then you see the hand of God in the course of the day. You see him giving you wisdom, giving you direction. But when you just do your own thing, you know, you think, it's like wasting time. Oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. I have to catch up with this. I don't have time to spend. Marriages or relationships that don't have time to spend, eventually they find out that they have time to go to law courts. They have time to sit down with lawyers and be Talking and talking. Oh, this is what she did, this is what he did, blah. They will have time then. Why? Because they have not spent time to build their relationship. And that's the same thing spiritually. So please, build your relationship with your Father. And one other thing, let me add this lastly. Sometimes, not even sometimes, it's part of the process. It's part of the design. Everybody say design. It's part of the design of God that we meet regularly in church. I hope you know that it's not pastors that set up meeting regularly. It's not pastor. Jesus Christ himself set it up. Jesus Christ set it up. In the book of Luke, let's take a look. Jesus Christ set up the assembly and, you know, manifesting himself amongst his people on a regular basis. It was Jesus that set it up. It was no man. It wasn't the apostle that they just decided, oh, we're going to be having this or we're going to be having that. Let me look for it. Is it Mark or Matthew now? Okay. That's when the first day, when they first of all gathered. Then another Sunday, when they gathered. Then Jesus Christ appeared to them. Where Thomas said, except I see his signs. Praise God. I want you to see. That's why I'm looking for it. Then it should be John then. I thought somebody would even just search for it. John? Hi, thank you. So why didn't you talk since? All right, John 20. All right, see, I'll pick it up for us. Look at verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then 19, that was the first day of the week. Then the same day at evening, beginning the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hand and his side, blah, blah, blah. And some of them believed. All right? Now, look at verse 24. Now, Thomas called the twin, one of the two was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, and he said, I will not believe. Look at verse 26. And after 8 days... That means last Sunday, this Sunday. After 8 days, the disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Then Jesus came. That's how the church was established. Jesus didn't answer the questions, the doubts and unbelief of Thomas in his own personal house. Jesus Christ could have appeared to him, but he didn't appear to him. Personally, he waited till they all gathered. And there's something about the gathering of God's people that will help you as an individual to know the Lord more and to get to develop your relationship more with the Father. So don't forsake the assemblies together with other saints, because when we assemble together, we hear God's word. We worship God together. It's like iron sharpening iron. One of the things that happens to people who travel abroad is that they just discover that, hey, sometimes the nearest church to you is like from Abeokuta to Lagos. And you are still in the same city. I've traveled out that we're going to church and we're traveling for 30 minutes. We're driving for 30 minutes. 35 minutes. So if you don't have a car, you just find that, it's not easy to go to church. Some people say, the church that I really like is like 1 hour away. And abroad, time and our money. Praise God. And the consequence of that is that you find yourself not being in church for weeks and for months. And you wonder why they backslide, why they misbehave. So if you want to jackpot, I'm not saying don't jackpot. I know someone, before they left Nigeria, she was already searching for church in the city where she was going. Not just church, for a good church that will be able to add value to their lives and they'll be able to be part of that community. If you're thinking of checking out of town, relocating, even within Nigeria, ask yourself, where will I get spiritual nourishment that will help me to develop and get better in my relationship with my father? It's very crucial. It's very important. The Bible says, make a tree good, the fruit will be good. When you want to destroy a tree, you can keep cutting the branches from now till some trees that are so strong and so that you cut their branches, matter of weeks, you see another branch. But what do you do with such root? You go to the roots. And Bible says, being rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded in Christ with other saints. So don't listen to people who tell you, church is rubbish. I'm pastor, I'm not in it. All those rubbish that they say. Get to church. If you're a member of this church, come here regularly. For as many times that we have service, Tuesday, Friday, or whatever service, get in there. Because every time you come in contact with God's people in the presence of Jesus, your life is enhanced and is enabled to be better. Your relationship is getting better. So make it a priority this year that I will be in church. Not just come for the sake of coming, but I'm coming to hear God's word. I'm coming to be a part of what God is doing. I'm coming with open mind. I'm coming with ready hearts to receive, to enjoy, and be a participant and partaker. And that's part of reverence for God. And you are coming, you are putting away your phone. You are coming, you are not gisting during service. You are not gisting. Remember what we used to do in primary school? A teacher will be teaching. And we pass notes. God help you if that teacher should catch you. You know, we are not, it just shows that you are not listening. And we are adults, we still do the same thing. You abuse yourself as students in class. Or sometimes you are even abusing the teacher. And we are passing the notes. Can you do the two together? You can't. You can't be listening to the teacher and be passing notes at the same time. The same way you can't be listening to whoever is here saying, and you're looking at your phone. That's irreverent attitude. The Lord will help us. Can you pray this afternoon? I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Father. I don't know. But God knows. Remember, He sees and He understands. He sees and He understands. But can you just tell God, He's your Father. He's your Father. Maybe you have not been having time with Him, but you have time for other things. That's just take a reverse this afternoon and say, Father, help me. I really want to know you. I really want to know you. I really want to know you. I really want to. If that's your desire this afternoon, I want you to just pray and ask God. Say, God, help me. Father, help me. Help me to put you above. That song says, I put you in front of my melody. You are all that matters. I'll make room for two. And that too is you and I, Jesus. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. Help me, Father, day by day, to put you first, to respect you enough, to fear you enough, to honor you enough, that every day I find time to build on our relationship, to build on the intimacy that I have with you, Father. Thank you, Father, for all other relationships that you help me to have and to maintain. But I put you above every other. I put you above every other. I put you above every other. And I worship you, Father. Can you lift up your hands to him this afternoon and just worship him? Just worship him. Tell him. You may not feel it because you have not been doing it, but tell him this morning. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. You are number one in my life. You are all that I need. You are all that I want. I want you, Father. I need you, Father. I reverence you, Father. I honor you, Father. I praise you, Father. I give you worship, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. Blessed be your name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can you commit this week into his hands? Commit your week starting from today. Commit this week into God's hands. Say, Father, help me to put you first this week. Help me to put you first this week. Help me to put you first every day of this week. Every day of this week. Help me to put you first. Holy Spirit, remind me. Ask Holy Spirit to help you. You know, there's an internal clock within you. There's that kind, you know, the alarm that will come from within. That is even beyond your from the one coming from your phone or from any watch or from any clock. Say, Father, set that alarm within my system. Set that alarm within my system. Help me. Help me. That I will hear you. Call me. Call me. Beckon to me. To put you first. To revive you. To spend time with you. In worship. In praise. And in the word. Blessed be your name, our Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. You know, while I pray, this just came to me. A lot of, you can open your eyes. A lot of frustrations that some of us try to express on social media. There are things that you should have expressed to your Father in the place of worship. Some of the frustrations, the feelings, the disappointments, some of us, we get on our updates, we get on, and we put things up. Yes, there are things that are going through your heart, questions that you may have, but these are the things that God wants you to be able to void, to say to him, to express to him in the place of prayer. We don't really get answers on social media, do we? Because everybody got their own issues. Everybody got their own problems. And sometimes even if you think you're getting answers, are they real answers? At most, what you get sometimes, somebody will say, oh, Bele, oh, me too, you know, those kind of thing. But real answers can be found in God. Real answers can be found in God. And it will be in the place of your intimacy with your Father, where you sit down with him, or even walking. While you're at work, while you are walking, while you are driving, you are communing. We're in communion with the Father. Father, we ask that you help us. You help each and every one of us. Everyone under the sound of my voice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because when we seek you, we will find you. Lord, we want to find you. Because you are like the treasure that was hidden in a field. When someone found it, he went, sold every other thing that he had, and he bought that field because he had found the treasure. Father, help us to find you, to know you, that you are the treasure. You are the what we need. We are what our hearts are yearning for. You are the hunger. You are everything. Thank you for fulfilling our hearts. Thank you for solution. Thank you for revealing yourself to these men and women. Thank you for making yourself real to us, that we will begin to see you in our everyday life, in our ordinary days, in our weak moments, in our high moments. Thank you for helping us. We give you praise. We give you worship. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if you have any question concerning what I have taught. Maybe any practical questions about what we have discussed. No, you can still leave it. Thank you. I may still need it. If you have any questions about what I have spoken about, anything, so if you have any question, I will come back and take them. Okay, let's welcome the choir as a minister to our hearts this afternoon. Are you clapping for them or for Jesus? Or just let's appreciate them. Let's appreciate them. Meanwhile, can we package our offering? You have an offering for Jesus this morning. Can you put it in an envelope, whatever it is? Whatever it is, can you put it together as an offering to your Father, the lover of your soul? Package your offering and let's give to God. Father, Lord, we bring our offering, we bring our tithes.